for the rest of the financial year, we are to expect that those four board members that will be attending to perform community for accountability. And secondly, this one has been covered by the with my apologies, Chair. In our previous meeting, we were told that the SAT board, or the interim board, was led by the advocate. I forgot the name. Then the one that was led by Dr. Mapal was the gazetted one. I just need clarity now that maybe there's been a lot of resignation and change of chairperson. Maybe it has led to the board being interim. I just need to find out if that's the case.
visited for a number of times here, chair of the board. Doesn't mean the board must come. And by the way, that statement suggests that we are bringing a COVID case to this meeting. Mm-hmm. It's a wrong statement, because the report that gets presented to the portfolio committee, whether it's quarter one or quarter two, I assume that it will be a different report that should be presented to the portfolio committee. So I'm confused by that statement. But that is in the SAT board is listed as a national public entity in Schedule 3 to the Public Finance and Management Act. It is therefore subject to the PFMA and is required by the Constitution, must account to the National Assembly and the committee. And the committee is empowered to, insofar as the committee and the opinion that due process was not followed in filling the vacancies in the SAT board and is in doubt, is another issue. And I think perhaps the minister must appraise the committee and tell the portfolio committee whether there was a vetting of the board members, including the replacement, before the appointment, so that we understand and perhaps then allay the fears of the illegitimacy. And if they were vetted before the appointment, I'm sure the committee will require such evidence to be tabled before the portfolio committee, and whether the vacancies were advertised for them to be filled, or it's just people who had had it, if there's that in the act and have never seen it in the act. So generally, the portfolio committee wants to ensure whether there was compliance with the Tourism Act, hence the questions. And I can see that the portfolio committee members perhaps are not satisfied by the response, because they are raising hands, and I think that will be a follow-up to the responses that are provided to the committee by all the people that have responded. So I think that information also must come forth. And also amongst the things that are highlighted in the Act is that there must be a broad representation of society, race, gender, disability, and what have you. So these are the things that have been raised by portfolio committee members over time since the emergence of the new board. So I'm going to allow honorable members to perhaps have a bite. Good night to you. Honorable Bush, you know me, honorable Mamukomba, I'm looking at you, honorable members, honorable Maneli, and then the whip, honorable Ismail, will be after Mamukomba, and then in that order.
Thank you, Chair. No, I just wanted to get some clarity here from the minister. I think it's coming from the responses from the minister. The first clarity that I think is that is the make about, you know, the matter between the South African Tourism Authority and Transport Africa. I've heard minister talking to that effect. So I want to understand, is it finalized? Is it not finalized? How far is the process? And also, I still didn't get the reasons for the acting CEO as to why he is not in the meeting. I heard the apology, but the reason, you know, normally it's very important to state the reason why you cannot come to a meeting. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. Thank you. I just have a few clarification questions. Number one, please, if you could advise, what is the normal time frame for a board member to be replaced? Whether these time frames were actually adhered to for the three members being replaced that actually resigned? And I think the Chair already covered me with the vetting process. I also asked a question last week as to why these three members actually resigned, and I don't see why it's actually confidential. I think with especially the sponsorship deal, I think it's very important that the portfolio committee actually understand the reasons why these three members resigned. And my last question has actually been covered by the previous speaker. When will the board of South Africa, the Bank of Africa and SADB actually merge? We would like to have time frames and more information on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the line of both Brandeis and Tourism Board, I would like to check that what is the page number of the new board? Probably some other questions, Chair, in the URI, that's when we discuss the measure, but I think there's a lot that we need to talk about around the issues of the measure. And then the second point would be around the response from the Chairperson. He just went to town and not get to the business, because when you ask for numbers, you ask for 5 and 4, not who Dr. Mubani, Dr. Lack. If you know, just that the total number of the boss is doing, which was at the perfect to be there, and 5 and 5 is not that. Thank you.
Jefferson, I'm looking, also asking questions around the replacement of the three board members who have resigned. If my memory serves me correct, the three board members would have resigned Friday or during the week, and then by Saturday it is announced that the three board members were replaced. Now, that causes in itself suspicion, Chair, because the three members that are replaced were not even part of the names were not even part of the previous members that were interviewed and that were the ones that were appointed and the ones that did not meet the requirements in terms of appointing, which means that the three replacements are outside the names of the pool that was there during the process of appointing the board in October. Now, perhaps maybe Chair, can this process be very transparent to us as members of Parliament? Because as we talk about transparency and accountability, these are some of the issues that should be uplifted to indicate where these three members came from, without doubting or casting a cloud over the members, but where did the pool come from, and why the haphazard appointment instead of a process, a due process of advertising and filling in these three vacancies that were there. Perhaps maybe if the report came to the portfolio committee to say these are members, these three members have resigned, we are in a process of filling in these three members. But they resign on Wednesday, on Saturday they are filled. As a member of this committee, seated here, doubt this whole process. And with that, Chair, I would request that perhaps the department led by the DG, because remember, this entity is an entity of the department, I would request that the DG gives us a full report of these processes, the date which these members resigned, their reasons for resignation, and that shouldn't be in, too much, because it's only three members, digital. The three members, their date, the date of which the letters of their resignation is recorded, and the date of when these other three board members were then subsequently appointed to the board. And then also give us the pool of the names of all the members that had been appointed before, and those that were interviewed. Let's just get this process very transparent. Because as I'm here, I know for sure these three names were not part of the first pool. Then give us an indication, where did we get these three names from? Which pool did we get them from, Chair? So that we understand the process of appointing board members. Then we'll know that you can have a pool somewhere, or understand where this pool is situated, where it resides, where you can simply go and draw members and appoint them to a board. That's my submission.
One is to propose that on the issue that is to do with the matter of the safety and brand safety, how about we then entertain that in the presence of both ministries, Chair, as the Economic Committee. Secondly, Chair, on the one issue that you covered me on, that has to do with the presentation itself, where the chairperson of the board is raising the fact that you have been tabled to the committee many a time. I just wish to get a sense as to maybe my memory is not serving me well. When was this presented? And my understanding is that we have been postponing meeting where the presentation was never made. We'll be getting, receiving this presentation for the first time in terms of my memory. I'm not sure yet when he is raising the fact that they have been presenting the so that's the reason why they had to save on their budget session.
Honourable members, Mr. Khumalo, the acting CEO of the NCT, submitted his apology to the committee set of on the 17th of February, and today is the 21st. And you must appreciate the fact that the apology was submitted on time. That's one. The apology highlights that he is on an international assignment. And in that apology, explicitly so, he is informing the committee through the secretary to say that the board will be led by the chair and the presentation will be done by the acting COO. So that's the apology, which arrived on time for the portfolio committee to launch. So I thought it's important for me to clarify that. And Honorable Manele suggested that we do not note the other apologies of other board members. So I wanted to check if that's the spirit of the portfolio committee in its entirety. And also, portfolio committee must guide and allude to what Honorable Kosha suggested, that on the issue of Prime South Africa, the portfolio committee must invite both ministers so that we are presented with the whatever information that is there, because there's a lot of misconceptions on the issue of the measure of two boards. So if the portfolio committee agrees on those, then I think we will not dwell on them, and So I'm going to allow the DG of Tourism to respond on the questions which are directed to him. And for interesting and for the report, I think it will be prudent that the acting or assistant company secretary, because I don't know where is the company secretary, but the assistant company secretary also to tell the portfolio committee as to what happened to the information which we requested in our last meeting, and two, how many board meetings that you, the board have had in this financial year. DJ?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you to the Honorable Member. I think there was only one question from Honorable Makuvela that related to the resignation. Honorable Chairperson, I would like to humbly request that I request the company secretary, assistant secretary, to place that information on record as to the actual date that she would have received such information as the secretariat of the bank.
I think the question from the whip was explicit. Now, when you want to respond in one sentence and decide to have a conveyor belt in response, and the question was not to the company secretary or the assistant. Perhaps Honorable Makuvela must repeat the question if you did not grasp it. Because the question is clear, saying that when did you, as a department, receive such information of people who have resigned? And what should be the process? And what was the process? And what is it? And when you want a company secretary of the entity that is supposed to be accountable to the department, respond.
Honorable Chairperson, I do not have the formal resignation letter. The main reason why I'm humbly requesting Honorable Chairperson that the company secretary places such information on record is because she would have the actual exhibit to be able to say this is the date upon which the signature date, so to say, of the actual resignation. I'm avoiding, Honorable Chairperson, misleading the Honorable Member in this regard. Thank you.
Okay, let's not put you into a corner in terms of the formal date of the resignation. That will be given to us in record, and in the report that you'll be finishing to us in terms of the actual date of the resignation of the three members and the actual date of the appointment of the three replacements. But once the process, as you would know as the leading department, to say when members of the board resign, this is the process that you follow in filling in those vacancies. Since you are the accounting head of the department and this entity, I'm bringing you into this whole picture because I don't want SAT and the board to be moving on their own. Remember, this entity is an entity of the department, which the department transfers resources which you are accountable for to spend. Even if the board has its own to yourself as the department. I'm bringing you into this picture because I don't want to drag the minister. Remember, the minister is the executive responsible, but you are the accounting head of the department. So you should be having this information.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, I think where should...
You don't have the report. Is that what you're saying? The reports are with the comments on the person. Is that what you're trying to tell the
woman? On the letters, I do not have the resignation letters. That's what I'm trying to tell the committee. But what on the question that has been elaborated on by Honorable Mokobet, I think one of the things to just highlight, Honorable Chairperson, is these limited powers that an accounting officer has when it comes to matters pertaining to the entity. In some other entities, their founding legislation are quite specific about powers that are also given to the Director General of such particular portfolio. In our case, once we have done the plan, once the entity has done the plan, and the plans come to the minister, and the minister grants approval for the plans, and they then come to the committee, and the committee recommends that we get a vote. Once that vote has gone through, what we then do is that the appropriation would then be transferred, and we would then monitor whether the appropriation is actually utilized in line with what was originally said. So that's really almost the most that an accounting officer would have the powers on. The issues pertaining, Honorable Chairperson, to the appointment of the board, appointments, concurrence of the executive members of the board, I mean of the entity, that is the responsibility of the executive authority. In such instances, what would then happen is that in the event that the department has a request to provide particular advice, the department would then do so and ensure that advice is actually provided. And then the executive authority has the prerogative in terms of decision making once that has actually been done. So that's really, I know I'm kind of giving a long-winded answer and so on, but in essence what I'm trying to say is that the appointment of the board is the prerogative of the executive authority in the end. Thank you.
Acting secretary or assistant company secretary?
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. On the request that was received from the committee, a formal request was actually received on Friday the 17th. And it was, the information was provided, and confirmation of receipt of the information was received, and this was provided yesterday, and confirmation came from the Jerry of him.
Thank you.
on the meetings that have been held, 13 meetings of the board have been held in the financial year as requested.
I don't understand when you say the official request came on Friday. What's the meaning of that? Were the meeting of the portfolio committee on Tuesday, and this was said to say that information must be forwarded by the end of business on Tuesday, and that becomes extra official request. So to say the request you got on Friday, it is an actual fact misleading. But that has been made. On what the DG is saying, the resignations and the appointments of the new persons, the date, the information is with you. That's what the DG is saying.
Honourable Chair, the information is with the executive authority, Honourable
Minister. The resignation and the appointment. So it means that the Minister is the one that will respond in this case, Honourable Minister. I must wait for the Minister to respond. So can the resignation?
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, yes, indeed, the responsibility lies with me. And at the last meeting we had, I read to you the legal document that came from my legal advisors, that the processes that had been taken through were legitimate and correct because they were involved in the matter. I got to know on a Wednesday that three members of the board had resigned. The members of the board did not resign to the minister, they resigned to the board. And I needed to find out very urgently what the reasons were and make sure that the board was courageous enough to continue with the responsibility that it had. So I then asked my legal advisors to put together a document that would enable me to approve of people who had we were on the database of people who have been cleared by the public service. So the people that we have put in here are people who have clearances. So first of all, we had to make sure that they are cleared and they are able to perform the responsibility that we need. I read out at the last meeting the report from Advocate Menzi, who has been an advocate in the public service and Justice Department for the last I don't know how many years. The process that was taken through by them is a legitimate process from the names that were provided. And these names come from a pool of names of people who serve in the public service and therefore have a clearance. And the reason why I needed to have the board filled as soon as possible is because I wanted to find out why there was a resignation of the three. I wanted to find out what is the status of the board, and I would not have been able to convene a meeting of the board if it did not correct. So we then set about looking for what was considered to be suitable candidates with the necessary clearance to fill the vacancies that had occurred. On the Saturday of the resignation having happened on the Friday, we spent the whole day, with the board to find out what had occasioned the resignation and to make sure that the new members are properly inducted to ensure that we can continue with the responsibilities of the board. It came at a very crucial time where there seemed to have been a whistleblower out of bed, so I needed to understand what was happening in the board. It is under those circumstances that we then appointed
the people that we thought would be representative of what the law requires, and that have been cleared by security. And we met on a Saturday the whole day. The meeting started at 10 and ended at about 11 p.m. to understand the reasons for the resignation, to understand where we are as a board. By the time I left, we issued a statement for the public to understand that the board does convey, that the minister has been with the board, and those matters that had caused the resignation were being dealt with. And I believe that which caused the resignation was their concern, I'm not sure, was their concern about their CFO. We then decided that we would have an inquiry into the CFO. We asked the CFO to leave the room while we continue with the discussion. It is my responsibility as the executive authority, when something like this happens, to make sure that I act timely to save the integrity of the organization and make sure that the work of the organization does continue. And that is what I did. Thank you, Chair.
And have those clearances so that we can actually go through them
us some clearances that those members were, let me say that those members were really cleared and they don't have any other matters, and the expiry date they off. Like we were saying, they were saying that they were cleared and they were part of those people that were supposed to be appointed to join the board. And also, Chair, there has not been an adequate response to the issue of the acting CFO, whether what is happening, if he's still a member of the board, why is his apology was not actually forwarded. I know I'm taking you back a bit, but it also touches to the number of members of the board who are currently in the board. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Indeed, the appointment of members of board is done by minister when there is a vacancy. In terms of section 16, subsection 2 of the Tourism Act, that if there is a vacancy on the board, then the minister can appoint any suitable person. But if you are to go to section 13, paragraph 3, it will show you that before appointing the members of the board, contemplated in subsection 1A, the minister must buy notice of gazette, mass gazette. So there is a procedure to follow before that appointment is done, because the text is saying that when there is vacancy, the minister can appoint, right? But it also shows that this is what must be done before the minister appoints. So that's the question that we wanted to get. That where did you follow that process? Or then, when the Act say you can appoint any suitable question, it's not taking you back to section 15 to say it gives you the prerogative to take any suitable, any person that you see or this one is suitable. Then that's where lies the legality of it. The appointment in terms of section 16 and the appointment in terms of section 13. That's where we can get a proper clarity. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. The previous speaker actually asked the question that I was going to ask. The only outstanding question I want to pose is to the department. The impression I'm getting when the department kind of says they provide the allocation and kind of that's it. But the Act does talk about an appointment from the department that sits on the board, a non-voting member. And I would presume that person will then report back to the department, surely, as to what SAT is up to and what are the processes and so forth. So if that could also be unpacked a little, because it's not a matter of just letting SAT to their own devices. There is another level of accountability and reporting, I suppose, to the department. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the legal advice that I read out at the last meeting was accepted by the portfolio committee. It came from my legal advisor. He's not here now to elaborate on the essence of every clause and every section that was followed. He gave me that letter and I read it out, and it is in the minutes of the meeting that we had at the last time. Yes, we do have oversight over the board in various ways, and that we can go into in detail perhaps when we have the
is the question of when does one gazette new members? One gazettes new members when they have been approved and have been gazetted through the proper channels of Parliament or Cabinet. What happened here is there was a resignation of three members all at once. I, as Minister, needed to find out what is happening. I could not call a board because it did not prorate. So, getting a team of my legal advisors, I was able to make sure that it does prorate and gave to the portfolio committee their legal advice. I went there on a Saturday to find out what is happening in this. Why was there a resignation? It was not an ordinary, normal process. It was a process that was necessitated by the resignation of three members. The minister called all the members together with the new members to try to understand what was happening and to take the necessary decision around what had caused the resignation, which was to check whether or not we had a suitable CFO who had been brought in. Those were the circumstances that drove me there. Those are the circumstances that we discussed this matter to give assurance to the country and the government that the executive is on top of any situation that occurs. And this is what we did. And this is very important to the portfolio committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable Chairperson, and apologies for speaking after the meeting. The question that has been raised by Honourable Defraser's presence of a person on the board from the department. What we do not do, Honourable Chairperson, is to put that person in a position of conflict. The person has got fiduciary duties as a member of the board, should act without any form of influence whatsoever, not from myself, not from the executive authority, not from other members of the department, deputy minister and so on. However, the person when sitting there should be able to say, here as an executing entity, you seem to be stepping off the mark. You are now getting into policy terrain, and these are matters that belong to the executive authority and not to the board. We are no longer executing here. We seem to be actually bringing something completely new from what we are supposed to do in terms of our mandate. And that person would also be able to say, here you seem to be now pursuing a mandate that does not belong to the portfolio, which belongs elsewhere. And this we cannot do unless if we've gone through particular processes and so on. Should there be a matter that the board deems appropriate or even necessary to bring to the attention of the accounting officer, to the attention of the executive authority, that must be done properly through a written communication that would come with the signature of either the board chairperson or the CEO to the accounting officer or going to the executive authority. Any other discussions, I personally avoid that, and I don't have any discussions on matters of the board with the representative of the department on that board. So that's really the context. The minute we actually get to the point where we say, these are the things that person should do, Honorable Chairperson, we are actually influencing what the board should do, and the board should be able to act independently and in a manner that is without fear or in favor. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, as I'm listening to the DG and the minister in terms of the legal advice that the minister has received, and also the DG explaining the representative of the department who sits on the board. I would propose that perhaps here we see that the long overdue legislation, which is the Tourism Act, which we need to amend, is now actually a matter of importance, because we've seen that the Act itself that governs the board has many loopholes. And I would propose that our content advisor, Dr. Kuzwayo, looks into this issue, because what makes us dwell on this matter, Minister and the board chaired by the chairperson, is because we see the sequence of events that leads out, re-emphasize, to suspicion and abuse of power. Board members resigned on Wednesday, and on Saturday, you as a minister called the board to come sit with you. And on Sunday, you then appoint three members, because you are now wanting the board to be able to correct. You are not wanting to correct perhaps what has transpired and what the instability within that board. But instead, you look at wanting the board to correct by a legal advice which you have received, so that the board can continue to move. I'm bringing this instability because, in itself, you had, as the executive person responsible for the board, you had appointed two chairpersons of the board in the period from October up until the resignation. Immediately at the resignation, you bring in a new chairperson of the board. That in itself is an abuse of some of the power that the Act enables you to be able to do. And that in itself must be corrected through legislation, chairperson. And then I want to go to the 13th meeting of the board, which the company secretary mentioned. Perhaps maybe we should rephrase the question and say, from the appointment of the new board in October, how many meetings have been held up until the last meeting, which the minister mentioned, which sat on Sunday or Saturday, the two previous weeks? That would maybe enlighten us to say how many meetings have this board, which was appointed in October, had convened meetings. And then the minister mentioned here that on that very same Saturday, she was in the process of inducting the board. That in itself questions many things. The board has had many meetings, has taken decisions, yet the board was still inducted. I don't know, maybe perhaps it's my education that is failing me, because when you induct a structure that is still to function its duty and its duties, because you had not inducted, or the board itself has not been inducted from October up until it's now January or February that the board was inducted. Perhaps maybe let's move there with the chair, with looking at in the interest of time. But I'm also appreciating that we are able to ventilate these issues before we actually delve into this first and second quarter, because what some of the questions that we are having now, they are now ventilated here, and then when we get into the second quarter report, we'll be only focusing there. We would have left all the organizational questions that we have. That would be my submission, Chair. Our learned doctor and researcher are here to actually start putting together our own work as a portfolio committee to say where should we get straight into in terms of the amendments to the Tourism Act. And then also at the same on the same day, asked when is this piece of legislation coming before us? Well, it's long overdue. We are now left with about 12 months into our term of office. Does this then mean that we would leave Parliament without having amended this piece of legislation, and we'll be leaving it to the new portfolio committee that will be coming in into the 7th Parliament? I rest for now, Chair.
Chairperson, on the response that has to do with the accountability, I hear the DT, but I just need clarity as to does that suggest therefore that there are no lines of accountability between NTT and SAT? Out of the 13 meetings, none has been between the two, and also as the Department of Tourism, you rely on the executive accounting officer in terms of accountability, which is not then channeled to the department itself. I just need clarity on that because I don't want to get it wrong, my chairperson. The line of accountability with the 13 meetings that have been there, none has been, because he is saying, chairperson, the representative does not go back and account. It's not the responsibility of that representative to do so. Now I want to understand, what are the lines of accountability there? Thank you, chairperson.
Honourable Chair, I need a few minutes to get my record together.
Thank you, Chair. Let me respond to the matters that relate to me. Chair, the board has been inducted and it is continuing. There's a firm of accredited parties that are working with the board on the setting of the name of the by LKA advisors who are taking the board through on a regular basis to ensure that we are compliant with the law and the requirements of what the board steps for, and why we have boards in government and etc. This is ongoing work, and I have had very good feedback from the entity that is assisting us in doing so. Then we are talking about the Tourism Act. The reason why I started off with sketching the background where we are is because I needed you to understand that we are in the process of amending the law, and the intention was that we should by now have forged a single entity between what was Brand SA and what is South African Tourism. Now, unfortunately, where there is two entities responsible for boards, it will take much longer than it would if both boards were under one minister. But I remember indicating to you, Chair, I think we were in the old assembly, and I couldn't remember the place where the agreement, it was at a Khutla of government, I couldn't remember the place. So I used the name of the place where we were at, which was Palapala Farm. We had our government Lukhutla there, and there it was agreed that the two would merge. That has been reported to yourself. It is a place where it's a farm that also
happens, it is taking longer than we had thought it would. But right now we are at one. This having been confirmed by the previous minister and myself, that the agreement was that Bread SA would migrate to ourselves. But that does not stop the work of either of the two. What it means is that there will be a gradual conversion until such a time as we have completed a new legislation. Right now we operate on the legislation that is before us, but we do know that the end result is that there will be one entity that brands South Africa abroad that also acts as representatives of South Africa through the South African tourism abroad. I need to indicate that I had to call the board, having had legal advice. I had to call the board to find out what was happening in the board that had caused the kind of furor there was, the kind of headlines there were, and I needed to report also to the executive about what was happening in the board. It is the responsibility of the minister to understand where something is going wrong. I called them on a Saturday morning, and by that time the legal representatives had already ensured that the board does correct after their resignation, because I had to assure the executive of the country that we have this under control. I couldn't have waited another day, I couldn't have waited a week, because we were all very surprised at this furor of the media around this and the misrepresentation that was going on. We then had the whole day in a meeting, and it was explained to me how we came to have the CFO and what had happened. In that meeting, we asked the CFO to recuse himself, and we'll explain that to you so that we can go into detail about what it is that had caused the situation where three members of the board had resigned. That is the circumstance under which we held this meeting, and I would not have done it any other way. Finally, I would have been the one to respond to the president and the executive about what is going on with Tourism SA. It will take some time for us to finalize the legislation, but it is, we have started. The concept is to bring these two together, and I'm in complete agreement with it, with the concept, because having served as the Minister of International Relations, I think I mentioned it to you, I did not see the brand SA if it was not subsumed in another department that was much bigger. I found that the discussions had been going on in cabinet around this matter, and we finalized it with the previous minister that was in the president, Minister Kumbuzo. We are on the matter now, and we will continue to ensure that we can fast track the process and put it to some kind of certainty. This department is a very important department in the sense that it is the face outside of international relations. It is the face of South Africa. It is the face that attracts people to South Africa. We are the greatest contributor to the GDP. It's an important institution. And to the extent that it is possible, I will act in this way and call them, even if it is a Sunday, and understand what is happening. And those were the circumstances that brought us to that particular Saturday. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Bolton?
Chair, I forgot to mention it right at the beginning that the then SMCF has since resigned since the last 2015. There was nobody and no control, so no transactions could be done financially without a CFO. So in the interim, the board decided to appoint the general manager of finance to act in the place of the acting CFO once the process was not formed for the appointment of an acting CFO or a permanent CFO. I'm talking about acting as your aunt. Yeah,
formally resign.
Yeah.
You are given a letter to give reasons why you should be suspended, but you preempted that by actually formally resigning. And in the interim, we're left with no financial person, and therefore, the acting general manager was then finance was then asked.
I think on Brand South Africa, as a portfolio committee, we are going to move a Patrick that we are going to invite the minister in the presidency to present to the portfolio committee on this particular issue. Because the explanation that minister is taking here, it has lots and lots of discrepancies. Because while we are waiting for the measure of SAT and Brand South Africa, there was an advertisement inviting nominations to the board of Brand South Africa, and that created uncertainty on our side, and that's one of the reasons why we wanted the minister initially to come and respond to in the portfolio committee. So I think for the portfolio committee to satisfy itself, we shall move. On that premise, and we will invite the minister in the presidency to come and present to the portfolio committee on this particular issue of the measure of the board. What I want to understand, minister, is whether the persons that were filling vacancies that you have appointed were approved by the cabinet or not.
The next meeting of cabinet committee will be this week, and that is when we will be providing cabinet with this and the reasons why the appointment had to go ahead. Thereafter, we are hoping that we will then be contesting.
So if they have not been approved by cabinet, why, what are they doing here?
So the, in terms of the law, the minister may, under special circumstances, appoint certain to the board. In this particular case, there were special circumstances. So three members resigned. I could not call a meeting of the board to understand what was happening in the board unless there was a competent board that corrected and was able to explain to me, so I could be able to explain to the executive what was happening in the board. So I went ahead and appointed these people in light of my own right to ensure that that is done. The legal advice that was read out to you indicated that I had such rights and that all the due processes had taken place.
We also do have medical advice on that issue, no, but we don't want to talk about it because I have not shared that advice with the entire members of the portfolio committee. But we'll leave it there. Honorable Makubela, followed by Honorable Ismail and Honorable Kombaya as the last.
Chair, this becomes very interesting. You know, Honorable Spicer here. Rightfully so, because he's got the Tourism Act in front of him. Mention what the Tourism Act says around filling in of vacancies, you know? And that process is that this section indicates that if there are vacancies, it is your responsibility, Madam Minister, to be able to fill those vacancies. But you are talking to advice which you got, and this advice out sitting here as a bush lawyer myself, Jay, because I'm not a lawyer, you know. I'm thinking out loud. You get the advice. The advice is not following what the Tourism Act itself is saying. That in itself, as a bush lawyer says, the advice is very much flawed, because the process that the Tourism Act stipulates on how you fill in vacancy, it puts it into your hands, but it says this is the process that you follow, and then you gazette and say there are vacancies, and then from there, then you can be able to fill in those vacancies, and then you take that to to cabinet, and cabinet, once cabinet approves, then you then gazette those names that are filled in. But you put names, you appoint them as chairpersons, you put names before they are even approved by cabinet. They are already given portfolios and they are acting. That in itself, as one Bush lawyer would say, is flawed, honorable members. And I don't know where it puts us, because I had indicated previously that I don't want to be suspicious of processes that have followed, you know. The sequence of events says that the advice that you got was very haphazard in itself, because people resign on Wednesday. On Saturday, you call a meeting, which you rightfully have the prerogative. You are the one responsible for the entity, and also you must be accountable to the executive in terms of the work of the entity and its board. You bring in people, you appoint them based on a database that we are not questioning. We are also not questioning their credibility. Dr. Toza Mileye was one honourable member with us here in Parliament in the, I think, the fifth or sixth Parliament. Yeah, fifth Parliament. So that in itself, I do not want to question the standing of somebody who was an honourable member. But then the process that is followed says, in this meeting, where do we put the status of these members who are in the board, who are still to be approved by cabinet, who are still to be gazetted, who are now acting, who are now chairpersons, I don't know, but I came here to this meeting for the first and second quarter, but all these things that are coming out say we are overseeing an entity which is still very much riddled with instability, leadership instabilities that are, I want to put this on record, that are caused by the top leadership of the department. Because if the top leadership comes in, chops and changes leadership within a specific time, it then tells you that some of these instabilities are not as a direct cause of the poor members of the board, but the top leadership is bringing in this instabilities. And then you have a DG who is sitting on the sideline like in a soccer match and watching over all these DGs. Because I would want to bring you in here also, because I still state this entity is an entity of the department. This is an entity of the department. The Director General responsible for the department is yourself, Mr. Tarar. And based on that, you can't be in a soccer match in the sidelines and be watching. You ought to come in and play a leadership role so that you also assist in bringing in the responses that you've given us here are very much not satisfactory when you say that even the representative who is from the department who sits in the board, you have certain parameters on what you want them to give you and what you do not want them to give you. It then tells me that we have a DG ourselves who is wanting to put some of the work on the side and chooses to do some of the work in Jefferson. That in itself says we are also having a department that is run by people who are not wanting to take full responsibility. I rest. Okay.
Madam Secretary, I'm sorry for the process.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. To correct myself, when I said the question, that was for quarter three. So if
I said in quarter, that I get financial, yes, not quarter.
In total, Chairperson, it was 20 meetings. From October, when the board was appointed, it has been 16 meetings. included. So it's 20 in total for the annual financial year. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. You know, I just want to state it on record. Transparency is essential because with transparency we have accountability. And please understand why we are asking these questions over and over again to get some constructive replies. Because I find that we are going around and around in circles, but we're not getting the replies that we actually want. So, Minister, with due respect, I just want to understand. You explained to the portfolio committee that you filled in three members' appointments because you had to have a meeting with the board to get replies, to get answers. That is one. Secondly, what I want to find out is, okay, the lady just told us now that it was, you know, 60 meetings after October. You know, the board needs to have 4 meetings. Now we know that there was 20 meetings in totality. And understand where I'm coming from. You just stated now you had to have a meeting with the board, that's why you appointed 3 members under your jurisdiction as a minister. What I want to find from here is, what decisions were taken by this board after you actually allocated the 3 members on the board? What was so essential that was supposed to be passed by the board or discussed by the board after your appointment of these 3 members and not having waited for the due process to go through with this particular allocation or appointment of these members, you know, when it comes to the cabinet decision, etc., etc.? Please, I'm asking this for a reason. We need to know what decisions were taken after these members were there. We need to know what decisions were being taken when the 3 members actually resigned, so that we as a portfolio committee can understand the nitty-gritties of the discussions in the board that has actually led to such 2 big catastrophes, 3 resignations and 3 appointments in such a short period of time. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Honourable Chair, I hear that there were about 20 meetings, I'm just including even of the previous financial year and the quarter end as well. Those 20 meetings, I'm not sure if they are within the budget that is supposed to, because I believe that members of the board are paid by per meeting. And what where are you going to get funds for the excessive number of meetings according to the plan, and who is responsible to pay for those board members in those excessive numbers of meetings? And Chair, the other question here is about, you know, pardon me if I'm out of order, Chair, but I would want the chairperson of the board to actually give us clarity on the media. There was a press release here, which was I see here going around showing, saying that I don't see him concentrating on the chair. Can you call on the people? He mentioned the fact that his department or his board is continuing with a plan of sponsoring hotspots after the lengthy discussion and our rejection to that report. I just want to get clarity if it is true what is seen on the newspaper and what is it that the committee is thinking about it. Thank you.
Honourable members, I want us to respond to what Honourable Makhubela raises on the legitimacy of the board itself as concerned, and so that we are able to continue with our mission. managerially, and there's been a total of 20 meetings, then it means that this board will not have any more meetings because they have contravened with the Act on the number of meetings. And now I'm wondering, how is this board going to function? Because whether the meeting is Zoom or whether the meeting is Zoom or it's physical, it's still a meeting of the board. And also, as Honorable Matimba has raised and brought us to the attention of the Section 13 says that when appointing the members of the board, the minister must ensure that the board is broadly represented, or it is a representative of, broadly representative of society, should be visible, and the board appointments must be guided by that, with due regard of race, gender, and disability. And this board is not reflecting that. Not at all. And as the chair was reading the names of the people that are not here, who are board members, it clearly highlighted that there are no, there is no fair representation in all of our society in that board in itself. So I wanted to allude on that and how we move forward from that point, which Honorable Makubela has raised. Yeah. And also we have the resignation of the acting director, by the way. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Honorable Mane, attempting to respond to your request that you have conclude or take a decision around what Honorable Makubela has presented regarding the legality of the board, I would then suggest that you also get our own legal advice. And if it's necessary, we make a recommendation that everything must be done. But for now, let's just get our own legal support. Maybe if we think, we know that we are also giving the legal critique ourselves. So we need to give an opportunity to give our legal advice, but then we decide based on the legal advice that we have received. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I agree, Chair, we should welcome the resignation of the acting CFO. Secondly, Chair, appreciate the presence of the minister. I think what we are seeing are evident that the previous meeting we had to postpone mainly because they needed the audience of the minister. Secondly, Chairperson, I just need clarity here outside the what I've read. The minister made mention of the company that is conducting induction, MKA, as advisor. I'm not sure if they
I'm reading from our interaction here and our engagement with what we were accused in the recent past days in the media is the portfolio committee. It has overreach. It has taken up a mandate which is not of the portfolio committee. And perhaps maybe also what the media or those that are speaking were not properly informed of where we conduct our oversight and where we featured into this whole process. Because ours was from the previous portfolio committee, we have put in recommendations. Those recommendations are sent to the speaker, and they must be processed through the house. The house must agree with the recommendations from this portfolio committee. And those recommendations, simply because a portfolio committee like this, as it sits now, is sort of a mini parliament. And the decisions that we've taken here, for us for them to be binding, they have to get the National Assembly to agree on them. I would suggest, Chair, that we take our previous portfolio committee recommendations and we speedily, as of today, this afternoon, because those were decisions of the portfolio committee last week, that the previous week, ask that they be ATC'd so that they can go through the house. And those recommendations are very explicit in terms of what needed to happen, in terms of what we are seeing as the portfolio committee, in terms of the whole proposal that was brought before us. Because remember, the money that would be used in the event that this proposal goes through is money that are appropriated by us and that we must be able to have an oversight of those money. And then what happens in our oversight model in Parliament is that the department and its entities are allowed to spend the money, and we come in and oversight after they have spent the money. But it does not stop us from oversighting and guiding before they even spend the money. That's where we come in, at that time that we're coming in. I'm bringing in this chair because we also want to guide the process of how these vacancies were filled without being seen as people who are overstepping our mandate. We as a portfolio committee, as we are sitting now, are looking at the discrepancies of the events that led up to the filling in of the vacancies. And rightfully so, because we conduct our oversight onto the entity and its board, we are saying that we see that there are discrepancies. And based on that, there's nothing stopping us from putting a recommendation. And the recommendation that says, because the Tourism Act talks to a process that needs to be undertaken when there are vacancies within the board, to say as the way in which events have taken place, we will recommend that this process be put in abeyance. You know, the filling in of these three vacancies be put in abeyance and a process be followed. And that, Chair, I would please form part of the report that we are going to send to the National Assembly to be ATC'd, so that the House agrees with us and we can be able to follow through and allow the Minister to follow due process. That would be my submission in terms of the process that we conduct our work as this town. And just to also emphasize that it's not wrong for us to come in and write in the process. But remember this issue of the sponsorship, a whistleblower put it to attention of all South Africans. And there was nothing wrong with the portfolio committee coming in and saying, board, tell us what has transpired here. And based on their presentation, we see that there are some flaws. And based on that, we are putting a recommendation that we, as the portfolio committee, do not see that it is in the best interest of South Africa to be able to use such funds. And that does not say when we put this recommendation, the minister will not come with her own approach. It simply means that the two arms that are there, the executive and the legislature, are not seeing things from the same point of view. And that in itself can go to the House, and the House agrees upon, so that it can be a recommendation to say the minister must do this and this and this and this. We can be, then from there we can be able to follow up and say, what has the minister done? And then I would also want to bring to the attention of the House that it would be very sad here to say the portfolio committee did not agree to the budget of the department based on the department and its entity doing things against the recommendation of the portfolio committee. It has not been done, but it can be done. Because remember, as we are seated here, we are members of Parliament in our own right. And this portfolio committee can be able to put this recommendation and not agree to the budget. Because remember, the money that you spend is money that is appropriated by us. And based on some of these things that are going in, we say this as a portfolio committee, we see media reports that this is continuing, and we see that there are discrepancies, board members are filled in, haphazardly so, in a process that we doubt ourselves. Based on the doubts that we have, we are now taking this posture. And it's not a posture that says we want to block the work of the department and its entity. It's because of all these uncertainties that we see in the department. And that in itself gives us this posture. Thank you.
Have you developed a CAB memo for concurrence on this matter to be tabled in the Cabinet Committee meeting with the Minister is referring to? Is there a CAB memo that you've prepared?
Honourable Chairperson, may I please refer that to the Minister?
Have you prepared a CAB memo, yes or no?
Yes, I do.
I'm asking this because you must also go and Google. I was once a Deputy Minister of Communication, so I know how these processes unfold there. So I'm asking this deliberately. So don't refer me to Minister when it is your responsibility to prepare a CAB memo, because the Minister has no responsibility to prepare a CAB memo. So please.
The answer is no.
Bring it out our intelligence. Minister.
Thank you, Comrade Chair. Comrade Chair, when you are responding directly to the honourable member here, by the time we talk about the bid, we would like to be excused. I have not been briefed about the bid, and I would not want to be part of any discussion until I'm briefed. I would also want both my staff and the DG to recuse themselves when we discuss the matter. We have not been briefed.
But those girls, what?
The matter that Honourable Makubela has just indicated about some media indicating that they are ahead of themselves, and she was indicating that she feels that the portfolio committee ought to take a position. I wanted to say that we have not been briefed. Neither is the DG nor the department been briefed. We would like the opportunity to be briefed as well, so that we are able to take a decision and take the matter to Cabinet, either for concurrence or for rejection, whichever way it goes. We have not been
checked. I am referring on point number 36. The article which I got, I sent it to the chair next to you, and you did not dispute that, you know, the article itself. I'm not the minister. But what I want to bring to the attention of everyone so that tomorrow we are on the same page in terms of the understanding of how the portfolio committee and the portfolio committees of parliament function. Okay? So that this perception that as this portfolio committee there is somehow an overage, I'm going to read from the rules book. It's a grand book of parliament that guides us. One, a portfolio committee must deal with those and other matters falling within its portfolio as are referred to it in terms of the constitution, legislation, these rules, the joint rules or by resolution of the National Assembly must be maintained oversight of one, the executive within its portfolio of national executive authority, including the implementation of legislation. Any executive organ of the state falling within its portfolio, any constitutional institution falling within its portfolio, and any other body or institution in respect of which oversight was assigned to it, may monitor, investigate, inquire into, and make a recommendation concerning any such executive organ of the state, constitutional institution, or other body or institution, including the legislative program, budget, rationalization, restructuring, functioning, organization, structure, staff, and policy of such organ of state, institution, or other body or institution, may consult and liaise with any executive organ of state or constitutional institution, and must perform any other function, tasks, or duties assigned to it in terms of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, legislation, these rules, which is the rules of Parliament, the joint rules, or resolutions of the Assembly, including functions, tasks, and constitutional institutions, or other bodies or institutions. I hope all of us now understand the functions and responsibilities of this portfolio committee, so that out of this meeting, it doesn't happen that the portfolio committee has overage. Now, I'm raising this so that tomorrow, also, when we invite the minister in the presidency to come to this portfolio committee and account on the measure of Brand SA and South African tourism, it's not overage. It's within our functions, responsibilities, and powers, because we are an institution with powers as stipulated in the constitution of the country. Perhaps then it will be proper if we familiarize ourselves with chapter 9 of the constitution of the country as well, so that we are able to move in unison and also at the same level as people that are working together in Parliament. Joint rules refers to the rules of both houses, meaning the NCOP, where we are seated, and the National Assembly, which is our Parliament. The House, which Honorable Mamphubela was referring to, which is now there in support because of that guy that's in Parliament. So it's important that we note the rules of Parliament. So, Honorable Members, the time now says, what response is now? Are they answered the question? Okay.
To clarify, I think there was a question from Honorable Mpushe, slightly related also to the question from Honorable Makubele, which relates to the powers of the administration, so to say, of the accounting officer as it relates to the entity. I wish to submit, Honorable Chairperson, that it is unfortunate that I don't have those powers as an accounting officer at all. What I have is, once the honorable members, once the House has actually passed the budget based on the APPs that are approved, I have to then make sure that quarter by quarter I appraise the executive authority on issues that we are seeing in as far as the execution of that particular budget you would have voted for is concerned. Now there's also a bit of a legality in terms of these powers, in that Chapter 6 of the PFMA specifically goes into the powers of the accounting authority, and the accounting authority is the board. So it would then outline what they have to do. If we go to Chapter 6 and we go to Section 50, Section 50 under A would then even be quite specific about the fiduciary duties of the members of the board. And I'm saying this in relation to the person who sits from the department in the board. That person then has fiduciary duties towards the board.
And who is that person?
It is Ms. Nonkuvela Silulwa. She's not here in this meeting. So that then becomes the specifics, and it would even be as specific as saying that their duty would be to the board, and then it says other things with regards to that. So there could be a degree of violation on my part if I overstep certain boundaries. Where there are matters that, as the accounting office of the portfolio, and they pertain to money, and I need to find out what is going on, in such instances, then I do correspond to find out what is this or what is that, to have that better understanding. But once it is matters of policy and so on, those would be direct matters of the executive authority. So we apply ourselves. I do have interactions with members of the executive in terms of what is in the APP and areas where we have to collaborate and so on. I call those meetings to say, let's sit down, what are these issues, what are these issues, particularly on areas where there is collaborative aspects that we have got to work together on and so on. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I have here the report from Advocate Mercy, which was read out at the last meeting. And in terms of that report, it goes into the specificities of the law, which allows the minister to replace members who resign. And it is on that basis that we appointed the three new members, so that we have a correcting board to brief the minister about what was happening in the board, which resulted in us suspending the CFO. It was necessary, and I'm glad to hear that he has since resigned. It is important for members of the executive to ensure at all times that the integrity of the state is intact. When something like this happens and there are all sorts of rumors out there,
it is my responsibility to come in and make sure that that is corrected timelessly. It goes on to indicate that in terms of the law, as a result of the members having resigned before the end of their term, what follows is an assessment of suitably qualified persons. And in this case, we look for suitably qualified persons who've been cleared, and the mechanism is available only in respect of a vacancy created, which is what has happened now. And he concludes, as a legal advisor, having been at the helm of the Department of Justice, and therefore I have complete confidence in his reading of the law, saying the minister was entitled, and therefore, with the assistance of the legal advice, I went ahead and appointed the member that I did. I remind the board interacting with this, but I can assure you, from the best, he has been one of the longest serving members of the executive in executive level of assisting the minister, and his knowledge of the law, I believe in, because it goes through the Department of Justice, which he was responsible for. I wanted also to say that I would like that the DG and myself and any members here who might not be privy to the discussions around hotspurs be released when we discuss that matter, whether it is the interpretation of the media or whether it is the view of the committee. I have expressed myself. I do not want to be drawn into something that I don't need to be drawn into at this stage. And I have indicated to the committee of the AEC that I have had experience of this in government, and I would like to be removed from this at any stage. The reason why I called a meeting at that particular time was because it was conflated with a whole thick lot of posters and everything I thought we needed to put a stop to that. It is important that we retain the integrity of the state at all times, because we are not here in our individual lives. I would have done the same thing any other time. To call the board to say that this is not going right, it is not a representation of myself or my own integrity. I would do it again. It was within my right, and I did it. Out of that, we're able to sort out a problem. Out of that, I am hoping that the board will know what their rights are, what their limitations are. And I have been in cabinet long enough to know what my responsibilities are, and I carry them out. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I think reference was made to media statements that came out, and that suggests that I want to refer to that particular statement that is in the paper. The statement says, despite condemnation from various quarters of South African society, including President Cyril Ramaphosa, South African Tourism said it will be moving ahead with the steps of the Tottenham Hotspur sponsorship proposal. First of all, I just want to say that is completely incorrect. Yeah. It's completely incorrect, and let's press put it in. And let me read what they say. I said, board chairperson to the board.
Don't get it. I think they know the content of the statement.
The member here, said that this is, I said that this committee is over. I just want to.
Yes, that's why I want you to say what you said without reading what is the content statement.
No,
because you
what
feel,
I said is
what
that,
that they, I'm misquoting you, or you are quoted out of context. Now you must bring the context to the court.
Yes.
They have read the statement. That's why they think that you said what you said. What did you say?
If you want me to summarize what I said, I have said, and I still say now, that the
parliamentary committee is not an executive committee. It is an a parliamentary committee is an oversight committee that oversees and makes recommendations, which you yourself have mentioned so many times. It makes recommendations, and the decision of the parliamentary committee becomes binding when it goes to Parliament. The recommendation that was made here does not stop this board that has a responsibility to spend the funds of the department that were appropriated by yourselves to make sure that those funds are actually spent in the manner that you are supposed to. Here I said there is a process, and I repeat, there is a process. When you said that you are going to make a decision to either stop or proceed with the process, this matter was stopped and it got into the controversial situation before it was referred to the minister. It was still at the board level. It had not gone to the Minister of Finance. It was still at the board level. It had not gone to cabinet. It was still at very preliminary stages of the board. It was a proposal, not a decision. Therefore, I have been a DG and I understand the process. And I have been in Parliament in the Portfolio Committee and I understand the process. So I'm saying the process had to be either opened or closed through ensuring that it has gone through the decision maker. The board on this matter was not the final arbiter. It had to make recommendations. Even the minister who was not privy to the final decision or recommendation of this. It was stopped at that level. So all I'm saying, and I repeat, it has to go through that process for it to be stopped or to be proceeded with. And that's the procedure. That's a legal procedure that has got to be followed. Thank you.
I thought for you must always have been so that I not all the hands so that we close the match. And hoping that you don't want to give us this petition chronologically, because it doesn't have to do that. One of the Manindi of Matumba, a week. One of the people I will say the Honorable Porsche and then Honorable Cole.
Thank you, Chair. I think the chairperson of the board is to the child. We know that the decisions or the recommendations that we made as this committee in the last meeting, they needed to go somewhere. And that was just the beginning of it. But now I think he's pushing us to go to that. It's like I have a plan. So we need to go to the recommendation that was made by the area of today. The sooner we ATC this, the better. But we are pushing to that. So Chair, I would then say if it has already concluded on the matter, I think we need to be ATC. Let it be ATC, Chair. Thank you.
Okay.
No, thank you, Chair. You know, sometimes taking counsel is very much important. When the Minister of that 20 million flag was advised that this thing is not going to work, he took counsel and because he could listen on the ground what the ground was saying. You know, sometimes you can be right and you see what this thing, if people don't want it, it's another thing, but it's just counsel that sometimes we need to take counsel. I'll go to, you know, processes are very much important. You see, when Tourism Act, this act was written, important. That's why I went through it. Why? You can't go and take people on the base that they were vetted before, because from the process of vetting up until you appoint them again, something happened. Some of them committed whatever they committed, you don't know. So that's why before you appoint, you must satisfy yourself that really you are appointing people who are proper. So that's why this act say what it says in section 15. So well, that letter of the legal opinion, it doesn't close the fact that these people must be vetted. You choose your prerogative to do so, and we don't dispute that. In terms of section 16, you must do it. But what we are saying is that satisfy the act in terms of section 15 and go and vet those people before you appoint them, because you'll be shocked of what we do at night, minister, that these people from the period there, there's many things you find, between that period, this person committed something differently, and you did it out of good faith to say these people were vetted before, and so something happened. So let us follow the law to the latter and not be in a hurry, because I don't think there was anything of emergency that you can tell us of. There was this thing of emergency that it needed to be done, or else the country is going to be face challenges. Thank you, Chair.
In that order.
Chair, I want to request that in the report that we are seeking to send through to the National Assembly for the decision of the National Assembly to agree with our proposals and recommendations, we also put the process the filling in of the three vacancies in this entity, because that in itself also, Chair, I believe was very much flawed. Due processes were not followed. And I'm now also wanting to question the appointed chairperson of the board. I question his standing in the board itself, because I see the process has been flawed, meaning that he's not yet a member of the board, but is now taking decisions, and also he is now also questioning our recommendations and our processes, because simply what is left now is for the report to be ATC, because already we have a report. We can just amend that report. We also have written and submitted part of our recommendation to the Office of the Speaker and the Chair of Chairs. And those two offices have just also given us a go-ahead to say, simply NCC your report and for the House to take a decision on your recommendation. But I hear his response to us and saying a process still needs to be followed, and it's not our decision to recommend himself. It is basically what he's saying. I don't know whether we don't know that there are ideas that don't even see the light of day, you know. There are children who are conceived who are not taken to full term, and that in itself becomes a stillborn before the child is actually even brought into the world. It simply means this idea was also an idea that would not go to its process, its final processes. But what is it? We're already questioning the resources that were used We've asked for their resources and all this, the reports. The company secretary says they've sent them to the secretariat. We must still appease ourselves in terms of the resources that they use for all these processes up until now, you know. Whether we are going to recommend that those were just fruitful or fruitless expenditure, it's still left with us. But we are saying, in the interest of all of us, the idea that you are bringing I'm also attempting not to go to the continent, because yes, this meeting is not about the continent. Mm. It's about the filling in of the vacancies of the board, and also the decisions that they've taken, and also the functioning of the board with the first quarter and the second quarter. I don't want to get into that process of we've listened and we are done with it. Chair, I would maybe ask through you, our secretary, where are we in terms of us sending through the report to the NA?
Is that all done?
Thanks, Chair. The previous speaker said pretty much what I wanted to say, so I won't speak too much. I wanted just to reinforce that we need to get the report. We need to meet ATC. We did agree that at the last meeting we would have to institute an inquiry. And I must say that every week when we meet, I've got more and more questions instead of answers. So I think I just want to just reinforce what we said. We need to get it going. It's most concerning what I hear. I've been reading the acts, and it does appear that some of the members may be illegally appointed or irregularly appointed. And we need to just get to the bottom of it. Thank you very much.
Yes,
Chairperson.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I think I just want to the honourable members on the issue of us not recognizing the board as we touch up. Also, Chairperson, I think I did ask a question relating to the KE. But also, Chairperson, on the legal advice, I think the legal advice confirms what is in the act in terms of the minister having power to appoint. But one of our major concerns is that they were not only appointed without being vetted, they were made to fill both of chairperson and deputy chairperson respectively, of which the chairperson has not resigned and the deputy chairperson has not resigned. Also, chairperson, I understand the clouds out there that we are seen as indiscipline members of the House. But if we were Chair, we wouldn't have set aside the summons and continued with the meeting, Chairperson, without discussion. I think we remain disciplined members of the House, and we want progress, Chairperson, on all these issues that we have raised here, Chair. Thank you very much, Chairperson. In that order, we're all done. Okay.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I don't have much to say, but to support the fact that the report be ATC. Thank you.
Do you want to respond on LKA? Or on COVID?
And by now, Chairperson, we know the accounting officer reports for the minister.
No, these are appointed by the board.
By appointed.
No, you haven't shown me that.
And they live in the point, Salo. Obangabana, LKA. No. Is it a South African company? And what is the role? I think that was the question. So I'm waiting for the response from the whoever responsible for that question.
Honourable Chairperson, the services rendered for the Secretariat, when the board had been appointed, there was no Secretariat except the assistant. At the time, the board had made the decision to fill critical vacancies, and in order for it to be fully supported, he then made the open process and appointed a company to support the operations of the board. So theirs is not limited to, their role is not to induct the board.
So, Deputy Chair, you are not the right person to respond to this question, but the Secretary of the Board is the one that is supposed to respond to the question.
Not really, Chair, because she was she is the assistant. So the board decision was to appoint a company secretary. So, and a resource to fill that vacancy because there's none. And there's a process underway to appoint a permanent company secretary. Chair. Thanks so much.
Is this a South African company? That was the next question.
Yes, Chair.
So they are there as a company secretary?
Yes, Chair.
Okay. Honorable members. The beauty of this portfolio committee is that all members of this portfolio committee are a bunch of educated individuals. They've got various qualifications and various expertise and in different fields. So I think that is also the strength of the portfolio committee. And that's why we will always have a robust debate as and when we are to discuss what's on the queue. Now, one, the Portfolio Committee on Tourism overwhelmingly thinks that the board is illegitimate. And two, the report, the 86, so that the decisions that are taken by this portfolio committee become the official decisions of the National Assembly, including on the matters that have arisen in the past week and the issue of the filling of the vacancies in the board. And also now the standing of the chair also is questioned of the board. And we also need to request the minister or invite the minister in the presidency to come and table the report on the measure of two entities, which is SAT and Brand South Africa, and we'll speak more and take the portfolio committee into confidence on the matter of Brand South Africa in particular. And So if we think that or feel that the board is illegitimate, there will be no need for the presentation on the first and the second quarter, I assume. So you will correct me. So in a nutshell, that's the summary of the deliberation on this particular matter that we raised here. And I want to place on record that Chairperson, Mr. Bosa, this Parliament and this Portfolio Committee never appropriated any funds for Tottenham Hotspur. So to say that these are the funds that are appropriated by ourselves when you're responding to that matter, I must place it on record to say when these reports were taken here, Program 3 at no Tottenham Hotspur. So I'm putting that on record. So that's a summary, honourable members, on the decisions of the Portfolio Committee. Is there any addition or comments on the summary, honourable members? With
Just as an addition in terms of the composition of the board, to say that if we place it on record that the board and the filling in of the vacancies, the portfolio committee is not satisfied with the presentation and the advice that the minister gave us. And based on that, we recommend that an investigation on the series of events from when the board members resigned, their date and the filling in date of the vacancies, together with the gazetting and taking this letter to cabinet for approval. We want to place it on record that we want an investigation on those three board members, together with the appointment of the chair of the subsequent chair appointed in those three members and their function within the board. And then from there, if we are going to get a full report, then we'll be happy to accept the report and its recommendation. But for now, we as the portfolio committee would not accept the filling in of those three vacancies as the minister had conducted it.
You want to speak on the summary of the portfolio committee?
Chair, I just want to correct the point you made about this committee has not appropriated the Tottenham Hotspur fund. I never said that. If you read the article, there's nothing that says the funds were appropriated for Tottenham Hotspur. This department has funds that are appropriated for each work for the year. That includes marketing.
That is understood.
So please, I don't
know. And on Program 3, there is no Tottenham Hotspur.
I never said that.
That's the issue. I did not say you said it.
So I want it for the record that what you said is incorrect.
What you said I think I must remind you that you are working with the funds that are appropriated by ourselves as Parliament. That's what you said. Correct?
Yes.
Now I am saying that in those
funds that are appropriated by Parliament. Program 3 has no Tottenham Hotspur, and we have not appropriated on Tottenham Hotspur. And I stand by my conviction. Minister?
Chair, I think for ease of moving forward, when you are dealing with the merger between the two parties, it would be important to get the Minister of Transportation also involved with the presidency, the previous minister and the presidency, the current one is new. It would make it easier for the
Wait, guys, the minister is on the first one. Some of the issues were
we are in national parliament in Cape Town.
Thank you. Did you find it?
was when we were accepting my apology. Then the second email is on 19 February of this document. Of this
meeting.
Thank you. Gracias. I don't know if members can recall, the minister
sister says that there is, she found out through some what this intelligence that the DG wants to remove the acting CEO so that he, the DG, can become the CEO.
Yes, I
and
remember.
Do you remember?
I remember that, yes.
So I think the chair should not just leave it.
I agree.
Let's have a write to the DG and let the DG answer
that's a very
on those allegations.
Yeah.
Because they are very serious in their nature. And because of this, I'm raising this because I've seen that the DG is reluctant to respond to some questions that she gives.
Yeah.
And then, and yet the minister has made some of these allegations, and then, you know, there's instability. Perhaps in the department and in the entity. Unless we uncover all this and start putting them out, we will be confronted with the DG not wanting to respond to issues, the minister saying there's no alternative.
So committee raised pertaining the non-attendance of the minister to these meetings of the committee, and suggested that the committee must prepare a report, and that report must go into the House for the House to consider the matter formally. So that was also one of the issues that we have a correspondence around it.
And the other one?
The other one, Chair, yes.
after this meeting, you must ask him to do exactly what Honorable Mancuela is saying. Honorable President,
I don't want to delay the meeting, so maybe next time we can just talk about the proposed overseas trip venue.
Okay, we'll then. All right, honorable members, we will talk about that. And the Jerry is now on holiday himself. He has not spoken and reported about that matter. The rest of the things that we forgot that we are supposed to go overseas. So, honorable Mane.
Oh, Chair, in the light of the announcement, the invitation that we sent to there, or communicated later.
Yeah, for the
I guess I'm just now, I don't care. Yeah, for the
women's
day.
Honorable Mokubet.
Mr. Jeff wanted us to agree on the permit so that he can start the application. And I think that allows ourselves to be part of the meeting of Africa and allow them to put the application through to the House for members that can be able to go. Even if it's not a full component, you must indicate that it's specifically so. Even if it's not a full component, it can be some members who are going to represent us in the application of this program.
No, I think so, honorable members, I think the proposal must be put forward so that those members that are available can go and also brace yourselves if you don't find the victim there, because we went to our manners and he was not there. And we were addressed by certain people who were not supposed to address us in that particular event. So, honorable members, if there is nothing else to say, the meeting is adjourned. We are expected to join the House there at the city hall. Hello? Oh, okay. So the meeting is adjourned. We are going to go to.